my co-host, Joseph Up the Arse. You can follow him on Twitter or Threads or Blue Sky or whatever the fuck it is you're on.
Definitely two of those.
At least two of those. At I Hate Your Club. And we're here after a long, long layoff and a wonderful season in which we should have spent time talking on podcasts because it was the best for literally the entire fandom that we've had supporting Arsenal. Is the best. I mean, all right. We had the Invincibles, but we didn't have fucking Twitter. We didn't have the internet the way we did. You know, I think I'm probably happy we didn't have the internet after the, like you were just saying, us looking up shit for Arsenal Barcelona brings back scars of 2006.
I sat in my car and watched that game on my phone because I was in the middle of work.
Yeah.
I watched in a Starbucks parking lot for their Wi-Fi and just was crushed that whole day.
Henrik Larsson, I fucking love Henrik Larsson, like Celtic and all that shit. And then for him to be the one to do it, man.
I think, you know, a lot of times that's when being an Arsenal fan really locked in for me. Like, that hurt.
That hurt,
you know. That was my feelings. But yes, I mean, we should have talked about it more last season. It was so good. I didn't want to mess it up.
Like, I can't think of any time where we've actually been able to be like, hey, we're actually really fucking good and everyone's scoring. And everyone's happy and they all like each other. And
it was
fucking good.
Yeah. Well, I guess coming out of the season of finishing fifth and Europa League kind of, you know, collapsing out of that a little bit. My expectations were, I don't know what year it was, but mine honestly was sixth going into last season.
Yeah, no, I was hoping for fourth, and I was like, best case scenario, third. Because I didn't think Liverpool were going to drop the way they did, you know? And so I was like, best case scenario, if Chelsea eat shit, and, you know, there's the ownership thing changing, I was like, maybe they'll drop enough, but I think United will be top four. I was hoping to somehow finish ahead of those guys and get third. But I was like, fourth place, we got to do it. Fuck Tottenham, they're not going to do it next year.
Yeah, I think I was just, I'm so used to all of those years of, you know, just not competing that we were falling behind more and that the other teams like it's going on this summer, they're getting better and we're not, but they're getting better. So I still felt that going into last season. Yeah. Like the other teams were getting a wonderful world, more better than us.
Mo better. Yeah. But the thing is, like, we've made some significant signings, like definitely the biggest deal the past couple of years, I think, for us is like, hey, like this summer re-signing fucking Saliba, right? But like him coming back and actually playing for us and then being the number one, like, you know, him and the guy at Gvardiol that they just took from Leipzig are like the top rated young center backs, you know, in the fucking world. And that guy, you know, extending contract with us this summer is almost bigger than all the rest of the shit. But
it's amazing. I mean,
but hey, I was pleasantly surprised. Who doesn't want to be with Arsenal now? What up?
Where else do you want to be?
That's it.
Where else do you want to be?
Things are good. So all of our boys, you know, are the academy boys coming through. Some of those guys are making us money. Some of those guys are coming through, becoming regular players. You know, like Saka looking like a guy who's going to be on the fucking shortlist for the Ballon d'Or in a year or two. You know, like that's the kind of level that we're looking at with some of these players.
I think people talk about how much that Arteta was back this summer about the buys that he wanted and getting his first choice. I think what he's done for the value of this squad is the reason why he's getting back so well, because he's turned the squad value. He's doubled the squad value.
Yeah, I saw that stat, right? So it's like City have taken a $1 billion team and turned them into a billion point one if whatever, and that Arteta took a $600 million squad and is now valued at
and got rid of also 250 million of those.
Oh yeah,
and letting him go out the door in one way or another, and then turned this group of young men and boys, some of them, into a $1 billion squad.
So of the guys that we brought in last year, I mean, I don't know who did you have like high expectations for? Because some of the guys, like, you know, like I think you know, most of the signings were pretty fucking good. Like the only thing, like Fabio Vieira hasn't really impressed that much. Like, you know, for a guy who's 30 million and taking a punt on a 21-year-old.
He was a lot. He was expensive, and I don't know if he wears that or if it's just him. He's going to take longer than most. Like, if it takes 2 years, then I guess really with all the other quality, is it that bad? If in his third year he breaks out, it'll be fine.
Right.
But he's probably in that critical year, right?
He's got to make an impression on the squad that he is worth the investment of time and energy into him, whether that's him as a left center mid or a right center mid. I mean, basically I think his best case scenario is understudy to Ozil, right? And even that, like, that should those minutes probably go somewhere else. It probably goes to Trussard or goes to, you know, like one of our other attacking guys, or maybe Havertz playing in there a bit. But
it's going to be he's going to really have to step up his game, yeah, just overall as a footballer.
I mean, just to prove his worth to the squad, you know, because otherwise, how's he going to get minutes?
I mean, he can't just be Martinelli's sidekick in pictures,
right?
He can't become the new Cedric. He's got to start. He's got to start playing.
No one wants to go full Cedric.
No one.
Never go full Cedric.
Yeah, but I guess overall, what have you thought of the signings? Could you have imagined the signings them this summer?
Well, just the signings for this summer have been amazing. But just go back from last year, the guys that we brought in that we incorporated, so like the Zinchenkos and the Jesus and shit. They did everything we wanted them to. I mean, obviously Jesus could have scored a little more and could have not got injured, but we saw what the effect he had on the squad. I mean, the guy was a catalyst for everything we did to start the season.
I think everybody came into last season intense, right? Just red.
Oh, like, yeah. Well, after the heartbreak, the disappointment of losing out to fucking Tottenham at the end of the last season, you know, like they came in, you know, and they definitely, I'm sure when they were, you know, once they were top of the league after, you know, a quarter of the season, they started dreaming. But at first it was just like, hey, we're getting top four, you know, like we're going to do this. We're going to battle as hard as we can. And if we can keep winning, fucking let's go. But, you know, it definitely seemed like a dream at first. And then we were always thinking, right, how many weeks where it's like, oh, Liverpool can't fuck this up again, right? Like, you know, like they started getting distance between the top two and the rest. It's like, oh, shit, are we really in a title race?
There was a lot of that. Even, you know, City didn't. I mean, they were winning, right? They were winning, but they weren't blowing anything out of the water. But we learned, but they were getting it done. They were just picking up points and getting it to hell.
But early season, they had a couple of those, like where it was like, hey, they outshot the team 20-5, right? But then they score their one goal near halftime or beginning of second half, and then they don't kill the game off, and the 87th, 88th minute happens, and a set piece from someone, and they were drawing games, right? They weren't losing, but they were dropping two points.
Yeah,
which
I mean,
unfortunately,
remember,
they straightened out before the end of the season.
In the beginning of the season, it was Spurs' best start to the season ever. Right.
Right.
And so there was that going on and Arsenal doing fine. But how long until they, you know, fall apart to fifth place or sixth place again? All you know, up until December, probably when those when that kind of talk kind of stopped.
Sure.
But it was always how long would they hold it?
Yeah. Yeah. It was always. Yeah. It was just a matter of not if, but when.
Yeah,
and unfortunately, there was a win. It did happen. There was a win. February, March is like, fuck, bro, we're still here.
Yeah, I mean,
we're still here.
We had, I don't remember how many years we fell apart by February, either November and February for years, right?
Yeah,
just fall apart.
And then we'd be scrounging, like we'd win five matches in a row in May to sneak it back into the Champions
Celebrate
League.
Celebrate fourth and feel really shitty about it.
Yeah. And all them making fun of us, but, you know, these other motherfuckers celebrate when they get Champions League. I saw Man United celebrating they got Champions League last year, you know?
Like, they celebrate anything. They celebrate Casemiro scoring, but I celebrated him getting sent off a lot, so that was more celebrations.
Yeah, not as much protection from the refs as he had over Real Madrid, you know?
Did you see the picture of him? And I don't know if it's fake. I'm assuming it's fake.
I don't think I've seen it.
He looks as bloated as I do, which is not good for football.
I was like, I don't want any of those comparisons.
He doesn't want that.
If I feel like you look like me, like we're not. This is not a good direction.
He shouldn't feel like that in his early 30s.
Nah, that's not professional level. It's not the fitness we're looking for.
Yeah, but it was probably the most enjoyable season I've had in a very long time watching us play. Just getting up. For us early, getting up, being excited for a match, and knowing that we were going to play well, we might not win. And obviously, we didn't win every match, but we went on some long streaks. But it was just so enjoyable to watch them come together, not only as a team, but just the football we played. It was so nice.
So for you, looking back at that season, who of those players? So we had a lot of players that came through, and obviously the performance from the new guys, the guys that came into the 11. So you'd say, the starting 11 got, three new players, right? It got Saliba because he came back from loan, and then you had Zinchenko and Jesus, right? So those were three automatic starters that kind of came in, right? The rest of the guys were all there.
Yeah.
Right? Granit, Partey, our wingers, and Odegaard and Ramsdale. So I think overall, like, I think for me,
don't forget Gabby, Big Gabby.
Well, Big Gabby was from two seasons before.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying in that team.
Oh yeah, yeah, in that team, yeah, absolutely.
But out of the three, who did I thought, you know, I really just liked Jesus. I never went away, even though he was out. Yeah. I thought he was a big.
Yeah,
miss.
That was big because he knew that he was like, hey, he was helping to change the culture here and being the guy. So he, as a guy that came into what is very clearly a leadership group, right? Like it's yeah. Odegaard's the captain, but it was Odegaard. It was Xhaka. You know, it was Jesus, right? Even fucking Zinchenko and shit, you know? Like, all those guys.
I think probably Zinchenko probably maybe had the most impact on our football.
Right.
Yeah, but, stylistically. But for me, I thought Jesus was the biggest impact.
Yeah, because he definitely brought that energy and this, you know, there's something that he brought. Like, his focus and his dedication. And people, you know, they're afraid of him, you know, for better or worse. And he showed us some of the really good stuff. You know, he definitely went through a period where, you know, the side of the less than clinical side of him was shown. But one of those things, like, even like, I mean, he was doing so much more. We were comparing him. Remember we faced fucking Aubameyang for Chelsea? Yeah. Actually, remember the second time we faced Aubameyang for Chelsea?
I do.
That shit was hilarious. Fucking Fat Frank, of all things, hasn't done shit. Is only losing every single match for Chelsea. He's like, oh, it's your old club, you know. Go out there and give it to him. You haven't started a match since the last time you played Arsenal.
Right, you'll be up for it. You'll be up. You'll get him. You'll show him.
And he got
like five touches that game.
Yeah, if that. And he got subbed off at halftime, and then it showed. But I remember even in the first match, even though Jesus didn't score, it was like how many touches? It was like, oh, Aubameyang's 8 touches to Jesus's 100 and something touches, you know, and an assist. You know, I don't know if he didn't score, but it's like his impact on the match was huge. You know, like his heat map was crazy. He was getting it involved everywhere. It's like, this is the difference. This is what we got and what we needed.
I think, you know, I mean, going down that road, Aubameyang and a lot of those players that are now gone are just kind of a view of the of players that feel they've gotten to the place and they don't need to put in the same kind of work, that the team should kind of work for them at that point.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, I mean, definitely. So the like what we're talking about with those players. Like, what they brought in was great. I really did love the progress I saw in Martin Odegaard's game. You know, getting the return of the numbers. Like, if you had told me that he was going to go, you know, put up fucking 15 and 11 or whatever he did, right? Like hell yeah. I mean, those are like Cesc numbers, you know? They're talking like midfielders that are actually putting double digits goals and assists. Like, that's fucking baller.
Yeah, we had a lot of that too. It was shared, but yeah, he had a great year.
I mean, we had 7 league goals for Xhaka, right? He had like 5 of the first half of the season. We're like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, so I mean, I think because he was he came in, you know, in such good shape, obviously towards the end of the year.
Yeah.
Those numbers went down a little bit, other than the last game of the season.
Right.
Those went down because I think, you know, it was a long season, and he always put in a lot of work, yeah, you know, for the team, and But Odegaard was fantastic. I think he's just getting better. I think he's even more used to the league. He's more into the team, and he knows. I would guess, you know, I guess from their perspective, he knows where his team is going, where they're supposed to be.
And there's always gonna be that comparison to Ozil because of the way they pass and the way they move. There's a lot of that, and he really is looking like the way prime Mesut Ozil looked, like when he first came, you know, like Real Madrid Mesut Ozil, yeah. Early Arsenal Mesut Ozil, except for a guy who clearly has a much better, stronger. I mean, look, like Mesut Ozil's been through a lot of shit and whatever, but as far as like his mentality and everything out there, like you're not worried about Martin Odegaard, like losing confidence in a match and like disappearing. Right. He's not a guy that goes missing.
I think some of maybe the previous year, there was still some of that, right, in his game. Like, he disappeared a little bit.
Right.
But last year, I mean, every player has a game that's not great, but who knows why that might be. It might be just the way that the other team is set up. But I thought he was fantastic. I thought he was so good. I loved his goals this last year.
Yeah,
they were just so good. Beautiful goals. There were so many great goals. I watched, I think, 101 goals from last season. I watched that a couple weeks ago. And just remembering, what was great about those is you remember when you were originally watching the match, you know, those feelings coming back where you're excited. Yeah. I know Nelson's probably gets the biggest.
What a moment.
Great moment.
I think I was at my cabin up in Tahoe on like a ski trip, and we were snowed in that day. And I'm like watching it. like from my bed on my laptop, you know, like, cause it was a 7 o'clock match or something. I think it was one of those. So this was happening at 8 something in the morning for us. And I'm like watching out of the corner of my eye, so mad that we're like dropping points and like watching this, like, fuck, I can't believe this. And then that kick happened and I ran out the door, you know, like screaming into the main area, living room of our cabin up there. And I've got two friends sitting there like, what the fuck? And I was like, let's go. Let's fucking, like, we just fucking won this match. The last fucking kick of the match.
That was a great goal. My favorite goal, though, of the entire season is Jorginho's goal against
Aston Villa.
Yeah, that's my favorite goal. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
From the poetry of that moment.
Yeah, the moment. Yeah, that moment was fucking beautiful.
That's my favorite goal of the year. There were some great goals all year long. There was 100 of them, but that one,
both of those goals coming, you know, in the second half of the season when we have a lead in the, you know, it's like, all right, well, we're 5 or 6 points clear and, like, don't, you know, we don't want to falter, like, stay ahead, keep the cushion. And those two specifically were last second ones that kept, you know, the last second winner to get us to stay 5 points ahead of City or whatever were such amazing momentous occasions. And yeah, that was worth, you know, that's why we watch this shit. This is
I hated all the, you know, over celebration talk, but what I hated more is that some of it was probably a little true, that there was probably a little bit of over celebrating from each of those moments, but they should have, we all should have celebrated and we did, I think, you know, but it probably took a little toll on him emotionally when things started to, you know, get a little worse.
Yeah. Definitely.
It's hard to come up with that every week or even every month.
Oh yeah. I mean, like I said, I mean, that's always, I mean, it was very symptomatic of old Arsenal teams, and by old, I mean, you know, just a couple of years ago where like, hey, yeah, we'll get up and put in a good performance here, but then it's Villa, whatever, or it's for some reason, always, even this year, fucking Southampton. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, but you know, but it was so common in the past where I'd be like, oh, it's a 1-1 draw. We don't get enough. And it's like, you just played like you beat Chelsea last week, and even though Chelsea's a shit club,
they finished 12th or something.
Shit club, no history, bottom half of the table. Chelsea, let's get them digs in. Oh yeah, we haven't had enough time for the slander, dude. We gotta get.
We haven't even got there. We're too excited about reliving last year. There was lots of slander.
For the past couple of years, all we've had is the Schadenfreude. You know, it's like there's nothing else to be. It's like I only got joy out of the misery of others.
I forgot even, you know, upon season review that, you know, the Tuchel Conte handshake thing was last year, right? Because so much more happened to both of those clubs. Because
that was like
year.
September, right?
That was early on, and
that was like, yeah, that was hilarious.
I think that's part of where
both those guys, like, different league, gone now, no longer in the league. Like,
both of those guys, I think. I mean, those were a couple of the reasons why I thought, you know, we'd struggle to get a higher place than we did. I didn't expect us to get second, even, but
yeah.
But I thought we'd struggle just to get in the top four because there was some good coaching.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
Well, I mean, until there wasn't.
Right. Until all that experience and all those titles won were gone.
Until ownership doesn't like to be told, you don't know what the hell you're doing. Stop buying these stupid players.
Yeah.
And they ship Tommy off.
Yeah. Well, he felt it was great. And then I remember at one point, everyone was like, oh, look, now Tuchel's right in, you know, in the race for. Wait, he took over at Bayern?
He's at Bayern.
Bayern. No, that's right. I was like, wait, hold on. No, he did PSG already. That was before.
Yeah.
Yeah, he came into Bayern. Like, oh, he could win the treble. And honestly, they should have fucking lost the league. Dortmund fucking blew it on the last day.
They did.
And I honestly think that's part of the reason why, like, Marco Reus just gave up the captaincy. Like, and also, he wasn't there the last time they won the title. He's, like, the only one that, like, played with the end of that generation of that team from 10 years ago.
I used to blame some Arsenal players for being the reason why we hadn't won anything. Because ever since that guy, it was also the rest of the team and the investment in the league. But it was a certain person. It's probably Rosicky for me because, you know, I was on for a long time.
Yep. Yeah, I remember. But, yeah, so he gave up the captaincy. They announced it like a week or two ago, probably because it'll be his last season at Dortmund or something. But, you know, he took them there and he didn't get them across the line to score the winning goal in the last, you know, all he had to do was beat that shit team. You know, they weren't even playing and were fucking good.
I'm unfortunately for you, I watched that game.
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping for you
that
they would win so you could celebrate.
Yeah, celebrate something. But, I mean, who knows? It probably won't happen again anytime soon. They don't look at a team that's going to win anything in it. But I digress. Getting away from this. This is the Pinecast we talk about.
We're talking about another second-place team.
Yeah, we're talking about some other perennial runner-up that occasionally wins a cup. But let's talk a little bit more about the culture change and the expectations here, and basically what Mikel Arteta has done. Because basically, you know, we are having, you know, it's funny to think back, right? The last time that Arsenal came here to the States was when Unai Emery was going into his second season, and we were all kind of like, we don't know how this is going to go. I remember talking to everybody about it then. You know, it's like we were all excited because they were here in the United States, and so we're getting a U.S. thing, and like that's all good and great, but it was like, well, how is it going to work? Is this team actually going to be better? You know, and then we came out very flat that season, and that's what eventually led to the turnover of getting Mikel as the manager.
Bad times, man. You're bringing up bad memories.
Well, that's just funny. Well, just because, like, we're about to see everyone again. Like, yeah, you know, we have the event out here in L.A. this next week, and Arsenal are going to be here. And it's like, well, first off, who the fuck is still in the team from back then? Who was in the team years ago?
Elneny
was in the squad. Shaka was in the squad. But so Shaka, you know, not R.I.P., but see you later, Shaka. Thank you for your service.
R.I.P. R.I.P. to me. Elneny holding.
Holding. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Bobby Sacramento was already deep in UNLV.
Stuff.
American culture.
He was, yeah, that's what she is.
That's what had him going to those country shows and all that shit. That guy living the American dream now.
He seems to be enjoying himself. I think we know where he's going to settle eventually.
He'll be MLS bound at some point. Yeah. Like you know, maybe he makes that move to Turkey now or something. Please, yo, go play for. Will the Saudi the Saudi league needs to implode. Because fuck them. And fuck Ronaldo being a trendsetter. Now he's like, MLS is shit. Like, you know, I'm only going here. I'm never going back to Europe. Like, it's going to be better over here. Look at all the people that are following me to
yeah, they're to following the fucking... him, not the $50 million a year for a player that should be on 50 a week.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But in the meantime, could they, like, come by Cedric and Holding and
I don't know what they're
Pepe
waiting. They got to fill up the Partey. Squad.
I mean, look, I'll give you all four of those players for $100 million. Like... Do they know how much? Thomas Partey was a 50 million pound player. Nicolas Pepe is like a 70, 80 million pound player. I'm giving you them plus two more players.
That's a discount.
Holding and Cedric.
Well, I don't think we have good enough Saudi Arabia ties like Chelsea does or obviously Newcastle. Yeah. So yeah, it's hard to get those bids.
Yeah, we got to figure something like that out. It needs a little bit of work.
But that culture change as far as the club. The club, you know, obviously the local fans and the stadium itself, and it just moved from there to even a much more pleasant discourse with fellow Arsenal fans all over the place. It's no longer, we're not all blaming our own hated player or our own, sure. You know, scapegoat. We didn't, you know, it's not his fault, it's his fault, you know. So it was nice to just be like, yeah, everybody's great, like... You know,
I do love the occasional person now still on Twitter that's like, Arteta out. Like, no matter what he did. And I'm just like, what fucking rock are you living? Like, how could you imagine, based on what we've been through in the past decade, 15 years, that this is anything other than like
those people right have direction. To be 1 year fans. That's the only thing you think. Anybody who's lived over the.
They're just permanently miserable and they're not willing to make. Like, listen, I understand people that had doubts about it at first. And it's like, we're not sure. But like now it's like, hey, there's enough fucking proof.
Well, I mean, I was touch and go for a minute here, depending on the year in, you know, not the season before last, when we were around December, right? I was like, I didn't see enough at that point. Okay, now, obviously, when you look back, there wasn't as much investment. We were still playing with, you know, Lacazette. But, you know, I wasn't 100% on board all the time.
Right.
I was won over, like, most people were at some point. My point might have been different than others, but
sure.
I mean, it's amazing the work that not only he's done, but the rest of the club and it sounds, you know, the stadium and the home support last year was pretty awesome. I mean, like was it the Crystal Palace game with the own goal with Saliba and they just turned around a second later and tried
to that was amazing. That's one of those things that you don't see anywhere where it's like, hey, we're going to cheer this guy's name after he scores an own goal. It's like, hey, it's early. Fuck it. You've been our best player over the opening fucking 8-10 games. Like, let's get it back. And when, what do they do?
It's just amazing to watch, you know. I hope that they continue to go forward this season and bring that same energy, because there's going to be those low points where that team still needs the help. You know, it's still a young team, and you got some new players that haven't experienced it.
Yeah.
And it'd be awesome for, you know, for the expectations to – be high, but not down when we're not perfect.
How the fuck are we going to get in that stadium, man? I don't know how we're ever going to get tickets.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, start I doing some stuff know. On the side.
Yeah, I guess, right? You have to work something. I don't know who. Yeah, I won't go any further. You know, we have the explicit ratings. It stays on this podcast always.
We're gonna have to figure always. Something out. Is all well,
yeah.
I'll say.
Yeah, we'll have to make arrangements. Those of you in London that know how to make arrangements happen, please reach out to your fellow brother. Come visit us in LA. We'll put you up. I will. Get us in the goddamn stadium. Find a way that I can go to a fucking match. Because I haven't been to London in 20 years, and I need to go.
Yeah, yeah. Every year I'm supposed to go.
Hey, we talked about it for last year for your birthday. So yeah. we gotta look into it again. Where the fuck are we playing in April, end of next year? Let's get there. That'll be right towards the end of my ski season. So, you know, we'll take a break to.
It would have been a good time to go this year. It should be even better next year. Yeah,
sure hope so. Yeah. It'll be even more impossible to get tickets.
But, yeah.
But who knows? Well, yeah. So one other point we got to make though, too, because also how many times are we complaining about the owners and stuff like that? Like you at this point, you basically have to take back. I mean, it's not like take. Obviously, shitty billionaire owners are not great and they're not the best in a lot of different ways. But what the direction that Josh has done, like what he's done as taking a larger part of actually running Arsenal and then showing the support for Mikel and Edu, right? Because that whole team that's getting it all together and getting it done have been backed and shown a lot of support into like the ethos and the whole culture and everything that they're trying to do. But then now when it was time to go for it and push the boat out, we've now gone out to a summer and spent more money than we've ever had in our history. And like, we haven't even got to the point of talking about spending 100 to 105 on Declan Rice and 60 on Havertz and 40 on Timber, you know, like £200 million on three players. Arsene Wenger's rolling around in his hyperbaric chamber, you know, like,
I mean, a lot of it, you know, in those days for a long time, he set up, you know, but you know, I think I've been part of organizations and you can see that when they're not being paid attention to and they're not putting the right people in the right places and they're just kind of, everybody's getting their work done, but no one's excelling and you don't have, you know, someone, you know, cause you need a team, whether it's business or it's a football club, you need a team of people pushing and supporting other members, you know? And I think what they've done is, you know, given the club, you know, and even the manager, obviously they found the right manager, right? So, I mean, part of that is a little bit of luck, you know. Some of that's luck.
I mean, we're lucky. I mean, look at who could have – if you had asked me 10 years ago, I'd be like, all right, you got Moyes coming in. He might not be the guy. How many managers are United going to have to go through before they figure it out? And even if Ten Hag's the guy right now, like the whole – like it's just such a fucking mess. Like they've had – 5 managers since then or whatever.
They've had some good managers.
Good managers.
Wait, yeah. Yeah. So, like, I mean, like, part of like that is
guys
luck.
That I hate, but good managers.
Yeah, I know.
Right? Lots Van of guys Hall, I hate. That piece of shit, Mourinho.
Yeah.
You know, and he talked like, oh, me getting second place with them was better than winning a title because of this joke of a club. And
yeah, well, some of those things, a little bit of truth in there.
Yeah.
A little bit of truth. Yeah. So, I mean, so I think, you know, ownership's done really well in the last few years. To not only back the manager, but I mean, even on the women's side too. So, I mean, as a club, just in general, as a club of supporting both teams and managers and the support staff behind those and increasing, I mean, you can look at the sidelines on the men's games. There's like 150 people there in that dugout. And I certainly don't know what they all do, every water break Arteta gets, there's like 20 guys on the sideline.
All running up all over the place.
So, I mean, and that's a lot of...
How many sports scientists does he employ?
A lot, right?
It sure looks like it.
A lot. And so, I mean, I think all of that is part of backing the manager, you know?
Yeah, backing the manager, backing his vision. And definitely, like, you know, they went from him being the head coach when he got hired to being the manager right after. I mean, they gave him more... a bigger role in the team that runs everything, right? They didn't hand him the keys completely the first season.
Yeah.
But as he built and did stuff, he's allowed, you know, he's been offered more power and whatnot. But also, like, the thing is that right now, like, what they're all saying is that the conversation with Mikel is like that he sells, like these players all are buying into it, you know? And then you think of the guys I just mentioned, guys like Mourinho or like Van Gaal and stuff like that. Like, look, it's true. At some point, the old guys get out of touch with the kids and they can't relate to them the same way anymore. You know, like we knew young, charismatic Jose, you know, Porto, Chelsea, even Inter. And then it's after Inter, once he went to, once he went to Real Madrid, everyone was like, fuck you. You know, cause yeah. I mean, thank God Arsene Wenger never went to Real Madrid. Cause you know, they would have turned on him eventually. Cause it's
yeah,
Real Madrid,
what
they
do.
Turn on everybody. Like yeah. The only guy I've ever seen them turn on is only Ancelotti pretty much.
Yeah.
But he's also brought them how many Champions Leagues, you know?
Yeah, he's also amazing at what they need. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Managing yeah. stars. And cause no one's cooler than Don Carlo. So, you know,
yeah. Well, especially as you keep accumulating those big trophies,
yeah.
it just gets probably maybe not easier, but at least easier on the respect side, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think Arteta's done I think ownership, to go back to that point, it's hard to argue with what they're doing and putting out there and investing and to make it better for all of us to enjoy.
Yeah, and you got to call, you know, the... So now going with the business that they've done now, like the $200 million spent now is definitely a clear statement of intent. Like how many times, like you mentioned, we had a little interaction on Twitter a few weeks ago, and it's like you brought up something that hurt really bad. We had a pretty good squad that definitely could have competed, and then all we did was sign Peter Cech.
Check and done.
Fucking year. He's like, you just need one or two players, man. Get the Thomas Partey, right? Like, we needed like that one midfielder. And
how
that
long did we
enough.
Need that goddamn midfielder for six, seven
years? I mean, since before Kondogbia and Pogba were in the under 21 World Cup, right? Remember like that? We were already looking at Mvila and shit like that before that, the whole time, ever since Gilberto was gone. Like, who's the guy? Sorry, but it's not Coquelin. It's not fucking Frimpong.
Here's Flamini.
Here's Flamini back again.
Here's Frimpong. Yeah. Here's Flamini. This is what you get. Yeah.
Yeah. Abu Diaby's going to be fit for more than 10 games, I'm sure.
All the hope. God. But I think, honestly, I don't know any of these players that even would we have gotten these three players last season. I mean, last summer. I don't think so. I mean, obviously, a lot of that is the way
maybe
we
Timber,
played.
Yeah. But the other two, yeah, probably not. Havertz and yeah. And, like, the fact, that we're in contention for it. I mean, the fact that we got Declan, like, that's such a fucking, like, as a club, as a statement of intent, going out getting the guy that's the number one priority. Like, we've never won out on a signing over A, Man City in the past few years, but B, like Bayern Munich, you know?
Yeah.
And if it's like, oh, they're turning them down to come to us, then like that's a whole, like that's a great, great place. We're in such a position of power now.
I think it's hard to believe. I mean, honestly, I think there was rumors back in January, right, that Arsenal were interested. Even then, I'm like, he's going to Chelsea, like, or he's going to somewhere else.
I believe we were getting Declan Rice because I knew we had the, like, they were always hanging out at England training, him and Saka and those guys, and he saw them always in his ear and shit. And I was like, okay. And honestly, you know which one? You know who we got to give credit to our former fallen soldier?
Who's that?
Jack Wheelchair. No, because what
you really you think the. Well, influence?
Yeah, no, but it's pretty clear because it's like, you know, you look back and there's videos once we were like linked and they're showing us stuff. So like Jack like hiding in a fucking dryer like at West Ham in the kit room and like jumping out and scaring the shit out of Declan Rice and stuff like that. But that was Jack as like a 20, you know, he retired like a year or two ago at 30, right? But this is like Jack as a 28, 29-year-old playing his last bit, trying to play for West Ham and still stay fit enough to play some. But that's when Declan was like 18, 19, 20 or whatever.
I forgot that Jack ended up there, to be honest. So you just mentioned it, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
No. Agent Jack, well, he was at Wilshire right there. Jack. Yeah, so those two seasons and him being like, hey, you know, we could use over. This has been a long time coming. And also remember, Chelsea let him go as a teenager.
Yeah.
Right? So, a lot of people thought, especially because of that he would go back there at some point.
I just figured they'd throw 150 at West Ham. That's more than
they would do the Mudrick thing.
They would do this. Yeah, that's honestly what I thought. It wasn't necessarily.
Thanks for that, though.
I think he's pretty good still, though.
I still think he's pretty good. Yeah, I mean, he'll figure it out. But I mean, you know,
I think in 3 years he's going to be great. Hope he'll be somewhere else.
Yo, actually, hey, check us out with my boy. Shout out my boy Mark from my Football is Pain group chat. He made a wager with me yesterday. So he's a United fan, so we make wagers on over United versus Arsenal. And so we threw out a few little prop bets on the side, and I was like, "Well, which one of your wide forwards do you trust?" Like, I was like, "I'm not going to put up against Saka, but I'll put up against Martinelli." Like, do you want to bet on Antony or you want to bet on Sancho? And he actually chose Sancho, And he thinks, so we have a bet on who scores more goals between Sancho and Martinelli next season. So I feel like I'm coming from a pretty good...
You're
going
to collect it by December.
I should...
You're going to collect by December.
Hopefully I'll collect by December. But yeah, so that's our... Like, that was the only prop thing. And also the other one I made, because I was like, listen, because he was like, you guys are idiots. You signed Kai Havertz. And I'm like, listen, man, he's not going to play a number nine. And like, look, I don't want to cape up for a Chelsea reject, and I'm not fucking all in on this. But we're talking about the signing. It's like, if he is going to play a position like Xhaka, and he's coming from the midfield and can do this, this guy's got a lot of great technique, a great player. But it's one of those, like, when you see like Thomas Müller, right? And I mean, I hate that stupid German bastard and everything he's done to us when he's been at Bayern. But you know, it's like the guy crops up. He's got a good sense. He's got a, you know, he
always scores
goals all the time.
He always scores.
And like, if you don't have the pressure on Havertz to be a number nine, I was like, yeah. So, and so I told him, I was like, well, so Xhaka had what, 7 goals in the league last season, right?
Sounds about right.
And so then we made a bet on, I was like, all right, well, look, Havertz is going to replace Xhaka and play the position. And he's like, well, he's like, all right, well, let's put $50 on if he's going to have more goals. Then I was like, well, this is Xhaka's highest return. He got 7 goals last season. So you want to do the over-under for Havertz? I was like, I'll take over 7.
I think you're going to win 2 bets.
I think
easily.
So. I think easily Havertz gets 8 or 9 goals, 10 goals, you know, I expect to see a well-rounded. We're gonna get goals from midfield this season as well. We're gonna have goals from all sorts of players. We'll probably get, like, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 goals from Declan Rice. You know, we'll get 8 to 10 goals from Kai Havertz, right? And you get another 10 goals from, like, Odegaard doesn't need to score 15 every season if the other guys are contributing those 5, 7, 8, 10 goals.
I think you got his, which again I never knew he was as tall as he is for Havertz, but yeah, yeah. he's gonna head at 1 or 2 goals in.
Yeah,
you
oh,
know.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, just think of all those trailing balls, right? All that stuff, you know, all the technical analysis that, you know, the guy, I think Scott, oh, that crab, whatever, does all the technical stuff for Arsblog and all that. Like, you see all that shit, and then they're talking about the positions and, like, the late run. So early season, before other teams caught on to it, Xhaka had all those early goals, but it was him being the late runner, pulling, like, the. Almost pulling the Ramsey, what Ramsey used to do, like driving into the box with a late run and then getting in, and then
that's why that happened early on in the season and not late, because he couldn't get there.
Yeah. But yeah, so I mean, honestly, if you tell me that, it's like, I think as a threshold, like 7, I think Havertz is going to get, you know, I think he's going to score 10 goals for us across all competitions.
I think we're going to score so many damn goals this season. I think we scored a good amount last year. We're going to add 20 onto that.
We're going to score 121
yes,
goals?
That's all right. Well, and all comps, though. I mean, this is all comps. This is
okay.
This is all comps,
all right,
yeah.
All right. Yeah, because we had 100 of the 101 in the Premier League, right? Or was that just across all
I think that was all across all.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'd say at least 10 more. We get a healthy Jesus, so he should bang in a few more, and then we get all that. And I mean, look, we've added quality every place, right? So, I mean, like, I'm really intrigued to see, you know, the fact that we haven't that it looks like Thomas Partey might be staying. I mean, I'm not mad at that at all, right? Like,
from a footballing
perspective, I don't give a fuck. Like, yeah, sure, balancing the books, it makes sense, but...
Well, some other stuff might make sense, but...
Yes.
I get it from either perspective of a possibility of leaving, but from a footballing perspective, we should keep him if that's the only thing we're talking about. You know,
I mean, if we want to give the team the best chance to win this season... Having him as a guy that, like, absolutely. So that you can go Declan Rice in one game and go Thomas Partey the next game. And then, and if the fact, if the strain isn't on him to play 50 matches in the season, you could get the good, best version out of him if he plays 30.
Absolutely. Right.
Right?
I mean, you kind of think the same thing with Zinchenko, right? Like, we need him for 30 because we're not going to get 50. So
no, but
get...
you know what? But it looks like, I mean, with Kivior, between Kivior and, like, Tomiyasu potentially playing there also.
Well, we still have Tierney in the...
We still have Tierney. I love Tierney. I love Tierney. He just doesn't fit our system. Like, he would be better in a different system.
I agree. I just don't know that... I don't have any good feeling about him leaving. I think he's just going to be with the squad.
Well, if that's the way it works, that's how it is. I mean, the big problem is that we've got no one to bid against Newcastle for him, you know?
Yeah.
And so we're currently at an impasse. If he goes, it's going to be right at September, you know, right when the window's closing. Like, that's how it's going to be with him. It's going to be with holding the way it normally is with our outgoings.
Our
and
outgoings
then,
right at the end.
Like, I was listening to, well, I think it was Andrew talking with James Benj or someone else, like, you know, that everyone knows that Edu will pay someone off. I think James was saying that. He's like,
oh, yeah. He's like, we've had to.
Because if you wait, like, Sedge's just got to stay with the squad and hang out until the end of August. Then you're going to be like, okay, we need you to go away. You know, and Andrew said it too. He was like, oh, look at the, you know, pay me in silver and off we go. And
I think some of those maybe a little bit different this season just because you got Euros coming next summer, right? So some of these players, like Sambi, for instance, right? Needs to find a club so he can make sure he's in the squad next season. So he can't just sit around and wait. This is another thing is, you know, it's not only on the club. I mean, these guys' agents need to get off their ass and start finding these players somewhere to live for another year.
But, you know, but the thing is, that's the problem with those guys is that, like, even they talk about the other people that are potentially interested in bringing in, you know, some Italian or some Spanish team that want to bring in Cedric. I think it was Villarreal is the one that.
Oh, yeah, I heard that. Right.
But, yeah, but they obviously looked at the wage. Like, well, we can't compete with the wage. Like, you're getting paid what? Like, you're barely a starting left back on a lower tier.
I am sure we're going to cut a check to get him to go away. Because if you save half his wages, you've still saved half his wages.
I mean, and he's one of those. He was a Kia Gerbachian product, right? So he's the last one of the Aubameyang clue that came out. The Don Raul sabotage. Thankfully, though, that the Emery, Don Raul, all that shit, we got all that done together in one fell swoop of dumb bullshit for a year or two.
Hey, we got a fee for Marie. We got a fee. We sold. I don't want to hear anything we haven't sold. We sold two players, I think, this summer.
Yeah. Better than where we usually are at this time this summer.
We didn't get... I don't remember what we sold last season, but I don't remember who we sold last season, or we just paid everybody to go away.
I think it was just pay them to go away, predominantly. And who's going to buy Pepe?
He's
worth some money.
No one is buying him.
No one's buying him.
Not on 200 grand a week or 175 or what he's on.
Fuck.
No one's buying him. He's going on loan and then we'll kiss and say goodbye.
Yeah, that's probably true.
It's too bad. I really like the player, but just.
Yeah, and it just doesn't fit.
Wrong time.
Yeah, like maybe, you know, maybe under Arsene Wenger it would have been different or something, you know, because he's more of a cozy. Arteta doesn't seem like a cozy buddy, put his arm around you kind of guy, you know?
He leaves that to Carlos Cuesta, right?
Right,
that's that guy's job, not Arteta's job.
Man, I got so, like, when someone threw it out there about since one of the assistant coaches left that Sati might be wanting to come, then I was like, wow, I was like, dude, that would be so cool. I just want him around the pitch. I don't want Enzo in the academy, you know? That's all I want.
You just want the kid in?
Well, no, but I love Sati's great, bro. But, like, I mean, remember the video of, like, the last game of the season? And then Enzo's out there, like, juking all the kids that are twice his size. I mean, they're probably the same age. It's a chipmunk, his father. But, like, it looks like a 4-year-old with a bunch of 10-year-olds, but it's probably they're probably like 8 and 9, and Enzo's just a tiny
kid. Yeah, I think I don't know. I think even when he first came in, I was really surprised at the makeup of his coaching staff that he brought in.
Yeah,
you know, like good for him. I mean, honestly, bringing some people no one ever heard of, you know, an assistant from over there. One guy he met seemed to be like one time, but I mean he put together a good coaching staff, and respect. they've added a lot to it. So it'd be interesting to see what else he brings in, if anything.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. We'll see if there's an addition. That'd be. You were asking me like if I thought it was going to be like a specialist or something. I'm like, I have no fucking idea because, like you said, there's so many bodies. And I'm like, who are all these guys? Like, I have no fucking clue. It used to be easy. It's like, all right, there's Arsene Wenger, there's Pat Rice, there's the kit man.
Yeah, there's,
like
there's a couple guys.
One other guy.
Five guys.
That's it. The same old like.
That's why ideas didn't really change.
Yeah, you're right. Well, you know, autonomy can be a bad thing after a while, and like but also like what we're seeing right now as far as like the way the board works, right? Like Arsene Wenger worked best and brought in the best players when he had David Dean with him, right? So he had a guy that was doing shit that also pushed him in certain ways before he had the autonomy to be God,
because he just tried to push him, but that, you know, I think that's why we got Aubameyang.
Yeah.
After when maybe it wasn't the best idea.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, what can you do about that now? But so anyway, so what do you think these signings do for us? I mean, so Declan Rice, badass motherfucker. You know, he's a great midfielder. I honestly think you could. I mean, we still have to get to see what Arteta wants to do with that left eight role. But if Partey's still in the mix, you could easily play Declan Rice as that left of the pivot of those two. Also, like, I don't think that's a reach for him. I feel like he has, like he's a great six, but he's a good eight as well. You know, he is a box to box midfielder when he wants to be.
I think we've just got, you know, even with just three more players, right? We're just talking about three players, but it's elevated just the whole, entire squad and competition for places.
Oh yeah,
and it gives him more options than he's ever had before to put on that pitch. And so I don't know if it becomes. Well, you know, a formation thing, or if it's just an opponent thing, or on who's on the midfield along with them, and how you unlock those road runners up front on the wings.
So check it. So like if you would say that we probably had our squad like 2 years ago, there were hardly more than 11 players that you wanted in at any point. It was like 13. We were at like 15.
It was like 12
year.
And a half because the half so, was like, you know.
So we were at like 15. Tierney that would we were at like 15 this past season, right? So like. Like Tommy coming in, Tierney coming in, those guys are first teamers, this and that, and then a couple like, you know, Trossard, and you know one or two more guys.
So last summer, yeah, you'd say that, but then we added Jorginho and Trossard, so then you get two more now.
No, and now with these three additions, the only guy that's a main rotation guy left is Xhaka, right? So if Xhaka out, and now you have Jorginho and you have Havertz and you have Rice. Like those immediate options, like we now can we can't field two full teams, but you know, I was watching, you know, the change in the squad when in the match against the MLS All-Stars yesterday, and the amount of these players that come in that you're like, all right, like Kiwior looks fucking good at left back, left center, that guy's good on the ball, like he doesn't look like a guy you're losing quality with, you know, obviously tactically maybe a little different, but as a left side center back or as whatever, he looks steady and good. Way better than like when he came in for Holding at the end of the season, it was like, oh, well, that's the end of Holding because this guy is way more composed on the ball and fits our style of football now more than you do.
I think, yeah. And I'd like to see, you know, Big Gabby get a break every once in a while. Sure. You know, and so when you got to, you know, he's still young. Kiwior's still young. I mean, heck, Big Gabby's still young too, but yeah, I think along that back line, I mean, I don't know what else we would wish for.
I mean, this is like, we haven't had a defense this good since the Invincibles, you know, like straight up. Like, because now that Timber's a legitimate option who looks like a guy who he's probably going to play 30 games this year. I don't know exactly what position.
Or which games, but
you know, a couple games at center back, some games at right back, you know, like who knows?
Ben White's not going anywhere.
He's an automatic choice, depending on what position he's playing. But maybe, I mean, I don't know. Maybe you play sometimes where you have White and Timber on the right side, and they can interchange even. Who fucking knows? Like,
yeah, I don't know. I just want to see White play because I love him.
I love him.
He's got my kind of attitude.
Yeah.
Kind of a dick.
A little snarky bastard.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's one of my favorite things in a player. Yeah. I hate it on an opponent's team, but absolutely. I love it on our team.
But he's our dick?
Yeah, I love
I love my dick. I hate your dick.
I love dick.
Yeah, there you go. Ben White is definitely got all the prick you need.
Yeah, but how many players do we trust? More than we've had.
I mean, listen.
I'm saying if it was
13 to 15, and maybe like with the addition of those two guys we signed and whatever, so we get to 15 or 16. We're now at like 17 or 18.
It seems like it.
Like 18 players that like it's not like, oh fuck, you know, we got to play Danielson at whatever. You know, I don't know.
No, I remember all those times. Yes.
You know, sorry, but you know, but like, because I would even take like Fabio Vieira's barely like he might even be out of that consideration of the ones you can count on.
Yeah, because
really.
He doesn't seem to be. He's not trusted yet. He's not trusted yet.
Yeah. And so, but the rest of those guys, I mean, you're telling me, okay, like if you see a starting lineup and say, all right, our first choice starting four in the back, right? The one from last year.
Right.
But now swap in Kiwior for left center back or left back. Okay. That's all okay. Right. All right. Switch in Timber for right back or right center back. That's all right. Like Ben White moves to center back for Saliba and then Timber comes in and plays right back or Tomiyasu plays right back.
No
okay,
problem.
Fine. No problem.
Yeah.
Tomiyasu comes in and plays left back for Zinchenko. Fucking totally fine.
Sweet.
No problem. Oh, we're going to play Partey and Jorginho this time and Declan Rice and I was going to rent. Okay, fine. Like
I still can't believe the squad that you're naming.
Yeah, it's pretty insane. And it's like, okay, well, so today we're going to our new A midfield, right? So you guess, like everyone assumes now that our A1 midfield is Declan Rice, Kai Havertz and Odegaard, right? Like that's what they're thinking. That's the new starting 11, right?
Maybe by the end of the season.
But so maybe some games as you rotate, maybe that turns into Jorginho holding Declan Rice in the left center, right? So you have a double pivot of Jorginho and Declan Rice, and then you have Odegaard ahead of him. But that seems like that would work fine. Or Partey in for one of them.
Yeah. Or you push Jorginho up.
If you push, well, George, I don't think Jorginho's ever really going to move up too much, but you could probably put Jorginho into that left center midfield also to play alongside Partey. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you either have Rice moving over, you have Partey there, and then I mean, Odegaard has got, like, Trossard playing for Odegaard, I think, will work probably better than Fabio Vieira doing it. And, like, we haven't even mentioned Emile Smith-Rowe, who's also supposed to be in contention for that left center mid position or backup on the left wing or whatnot.
It sounds great. If we could just get all those players performing on the day.
Yeah.
It sounds great. And guess what? If one of those guys isn't playing that great and you can bring another one of those pieces on at 70 and change the last 20 minutes of a match and actually change it and not just, you know, some of those even last season were like for like changes that didn't have the impact that you'd hope. You're hoping just the freshness, but sometimes it didn't give us anything. It didn't really push us where we needed to go. And we struggled for that last 20 minutes instead of bringing on a change in, you know, so, that's pretty amazing.
Well, yeah, I definitely love the paucity of options we have, you know, like the fact that we can go to all these different guys and it's like, all right, well, if you're not going to start Martinelli, you have Smith Rowe, you have Trossard, you know, you have Reese Nelson also likes to play at left side. I mean, he plays left and right, you know, Trossard, Saka, anyone all on the right. And then right now we have three center forward options that are all pretty decent options. You know, I wish we could sell Nketiah for a price close to what we're going to get for Balogun, but
yeah, I know, right?
You know, like so, that'd be my favorite situation, really. But, and I don't hate on Nketiah, you know, like I like the kid, but like it just also doesn't feel like he's ever going to get to that level.
I think he's a very good player. But we're talking about we finished second.
We're trying to be a title,
and we're trying to go one place better.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't think Balogun is there either. So
that's why we're selling them both and getting Mbappe.
Done. Just let's come go. On it. I can't imagine him trying to get yelled at by Arteta to be where he's supposed to be.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think he'd work too well for that high press. But
I don't think he'd be too happy having to do that much work.
But it would change the title odds a bit.
If he was willing to put in the work, he sure would. He sure would.
Yeah. But I mean, but that's the thing is that we're trying to be like, we're now at a level where, hey, this is our first season back in the Champions League, but this team is going to have a better chance to win the Champions League than any team since like 08. You know what I mean? Like really, or since the 06 team that went to the final, like as far as depth of squad and how good the team is position to position, like, sure. Like we had a good, like, you know, the Theo Van Nazar gas fucking embarrassing ass days.
Yeah. Say
dumb shit like that. You know, like we had a good team, but that was a good 11.
I never tweeted that. I think I've deleted it.
But, you know who's on the bench for those matches? Like, Mikel Silvestre and shit like that. And there's Adebayor and, like, Coquelin and fucking Frimpong. Like that's, those teams were patchworked together. Somehow, Arsene Wenger was still keeping us in the Champions League, even though he's starting, you know, fucking...
Well, we didn't have as many nation states as we do now, so it was a little easier. But, it's great to hear it because as far as the squad that you're talking about and the possibilities of how good we are, because I still don't believe it.
Right. No, let's go back to the, what was his fucking name? Amari Bischoff, PI.
Yeah, all those guys.
Amari Bischoff. Let's bring in the fucking Swede with a broken back.
What, you know, even when we go back and we talk about investment.
Kallstrom. Yes,
even go back to January because we're used to getting the Kallstroms and we'll get a kid in January to be good in 12 years. Even the fact that we got two players in January, and I don't remember.
And they were real players.
How many was there? There was at least a decade that we all begged for a January player with some real impact, not just a guy that's
18. The only guys we got that were impactful in January were like Andre Arshavin back and when that happened.
Yeah.
But even like that team wasn't great, you know? Yeah. And before that was Reyes back in fucking 03 or whatever, right? So like. Yeah.
Well, I think we got Theo in January too,
but that was when he was
16 or whatever.
Yeah,
at
he was
that
15,
point.
16. So it was like, that was the very beginning,
Yeah, but you're right. We just didn't bring players in.
Yeah,
we didn't like players.
I didn't like when your boy Theo did us dirty when we were playing Southampton last time. You know, I mean, he didn't do anything disrespectful, but you know, scoring a goal and shit, that was out of line.
I know. I wasn't happy with it. I've not. I don't. I mean,
did you cut off his allowance?
Yeah, we're not talking. We're still not. We're not speaking.
We're no not longer speaking. On speaking terms. Sorry, Theo.
I only like the shirt. I only like when you're in the shirt. I'm not a player. I'm not a player.
You don't follow them forever. No.
When they leave, they leave.
Yep.
I don't usually hate them unless they wear one of the colors we hate, but.
Or the specific.
But I don't continue to look at what they're doing.
Yeah.
Unless they're playing somebody we hate, right?
Right. And that's like when he scored against Tottenham, I was all about it. Like, yeah, it's great. Yeah,
that's about great. Time.
Proud father. Yeah, man. So, I mean, but basically what we've seen, we're in the best position we've been in ever, you know, in the past, in the recent history, going into the season on a really good wave, feeling happy about it. What are your expectations for this year? All right, obviously the goal is to win the title this year, to go one step further. So you don't have to state that, right? So what would be acceptable, and like what's like the standard? Like the minimum would be Champions League again. You know, like top four, but ideally top two or three. I mean, if Liverpool bounce back,
I think
and they're really good.
I think they will.
And maybe it's a three horse race this year. Maybe we falter. Then maybe maybe second place against a good Liverpool and a City would be even an improvement on this year. I don't know, or but sustain. But you know, then also making a Champions League quarterfinal or semifinal. Like this team is good enough to go. Like this squad now, and I have not been able to say this for fucking years, is a good enough defensive squad to easily make a quarterfinals of Champions League. And there's no reason why if they get a decent draw and don't get run into a buzzsaw of like Real Madrid or whatever.
Well, we know how the fix will be in on who we get.
We'll get right? Bayern. We'll get Bayern.
We'll get. I don't know. We might get City. I mean, honestly, yeah, that's what they'd want, right?
But so at least a quarterfinal in the Champions League, right? Get out. Win a knockout tie. Make it to a quarterfinal. You know, fight for domestic cup, be in the title race, and play some pretty football. I mean, that's
you know, I'm always really conservative on my picks and what my thoughts are because I don't ever want to be disappointed.
Yeah.
But I mean, obviously, I think both of those things would be good seasons. They'd be really good seasons. Right. I think the additions. I think we're gonna win the league. I don't know how we're gonna do in the Champions League.
Let's go. Yeah, I'll take. Hey, we can get knocked out. I mean, if we win the league, we can get knocked out after the group stage. I don't give a fuck.
I don't know if I've ever predicted that for Arsenal.
I don't think so.
I don't know if I ever. But, I mean, I know everything doesn't go perfect. But, like, I think no one else's season is going to go perfect either. So, I think there's enough change. Not that it's not like Pep won't have another great team or anything. And I think Liverpool, I think their forward line will be a lot better. And they'll score again. But I think we're going to win.
Let's get it. I love that. I'm not used to hearing that from you, Doug.
I know.
How many times have we had preseason podcasts and shit? And it was never, it was like, fifth. it was like eighth place.
Hell, I predicted sixth last season. So
sure did.
I'm drinking the Kool-Aid and all.
Fuck it all in. Let's go. We're diving in. This is the year. This is the year. You heard it here first.
If not now, when?
Yeah, if not now, when? Who fucking knows? Well, once we sign Mbappe, they're all going to be shaking in their boots. Yeah, I mean, who knows? You know, for the business that goes on this summer, you got to take your hats off to the management and what they've done, the statement of intent of what they're doing. You know, I thought it was funny. You know, Fulham Balogun.
That's his name. That's his name.
Yeah, Fuller and Baggins, America's new star striker. Yeah, but was talking about how serious Mikel was taking this All-Star game because I mean he's hungry after the end of the way last season ended. You know, Odegaard's been interviewed and he talks about how much he's like it's going to haunt him the rest of his life. They didn't win the Premier League when they had that thing, and it's like good. I mean, I'm glad like this will be the same kind of motivation that missing out on Champions League to the scum was the year before.
Well, I think you know, and last season. All those setbacks, you know, Newcastle was a setback, and Spurs away was a setback.
Yeah,
you know, you could tell.
We righted all those.
You could tell those were big, last year they really concentrated to right all those wrongs.
We're going to fucking get them, guys.
Let's fucking go. So, I think they really took a look at that each time to overcome those. I mean, going to Newcastle, that 2-0 was a great 2-0.
Yeah, it was.
And
it really
beating
was.
The hell out of Spurs at their place was great.
Trouncing them.
Great.
I think that's what I'm
you know,
word I'm
so
for that
they have some other demons to slay. So hopefully they can focus on that, and my dreams and predictions could come true.
Hey, that's what I want to see, man. Let's go. We're ready for it. And it's going to, you know, look, this year we're starting off right. We're now on the precipice of, we're about to get ready to go see the bad boys in action against your most hated team ever.
I know. Arsenal. I've had to say their name all the time.
Can I say, yeah. Can I get a prediction for that game? We're going to go beat, let's go beat Barcelona at fucking SoFi, yeah?
5-2.
5-2. Yeah. 5-2 is a great score.
It is a great score. That's why it came to mind.
And we're going to be there live. 7 live goals. 5 of them to cheer at, you know? Like, fucking sign me up.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm going to be. Let's go. I'm all positive now. I don't know who I am anymore.
Oh, baby. Yeah. That's some wild shit. Well, for those of you that are out here, they're going to be visiting. We will be at some of the events that are going on. Joseph and I are trying to make it to the Islington FM event on the Tuesday coming up, and we'll be at the match. I will definitely be at the pregame that they're doing in LA at the Aleworks in Hawthorne. I believe that's going to be going on from 2:30 to 5:30 before the match. And yeah, like for those, everyone else that's out here, we're going to be here having fun. Reach out to us. We'll be here. We'll both be at the match. Hang on, have fun with all the Gooners worldwide. Happy to see everybody. And yeah, man, that should be really exciting. Like we haven't, I mean, last time you saw them was the same time, right? When we saw them here a few years back, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, we need to light that stadium with, red and white. Like was done at the All-Star game yesterday.
Honestly, that was a reason why I haven't bought a home kit since that year. And I was like, you know what? Yeah. Like I've got my black kit, but I'm wearing red and white. I'm wearing red and white this one. Yeah. The black, you know, the black is just clean, clean, clean.
Yeah, it is clean. I am sorry I didn't get one last season. I don't know what the hell I was thinking.
You can still get them. They're out there. They're still on sale somewhere. So
yeah, were sold out a lot. So
yeah, they were. You know, fly ass threads and a team that's doing really well.
Yeah, it was
a special combination. So that's gonna be that's about it from us, man. That's been a lot of fun. We're getting ready to go see everybody. So if you guys are out, give us a holler. We'll be at the events, kicking it with the homies, hanging out with the Gooners, and getting ready for the new season. So,
looking forward to it.
Yes, indeed. So we'll have to come back and check on this. You know, we won't be doing these things regularly, but we'll check in once in a while. Hopefully, when we're top of the league in like September, October, we can get back and just do these at least quarterly or something. Just, you know, bring it back. But you know,
yeah, let's keep the good vibes going.
Yeah, keep it going because we've been rolling. The energy behind everything has been really fucking smooth. Everyone's been good. Like, you know, there's harmony, right? Like the team, the energy behind it, everyone connected to the club, everyone looks so happy and together. So looking forward to see more of that happen and long may it last.
Yeah. We got to enjoy these, you know, cause you know, for all the times that we didn't.
Yeah, exactly. I know. And you know, not to borrow from James, but you know, let's do this, bro. Let's get this shit. Let's go. Arsenal this year, winning the fucking league. And, you know, maybe the semifinals of the championship.
Dream year.
What a year. All right, guys. Thanks so much. We'll catch you again sometime soon. Until then, yeah.